Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to share with you this morning from a word in of Proverbs. You know, Proverbs 1:20. You know, we're looking at lots of calamity. We're looking at the Greece economy that's it's coming to a knot. You know, where they're actually, basically probably going to be out of the European Union really soon. You're looking at Spain in the same situation. You're looking at the euro just being challenged. They're looking at Germany to bail them out. Which last time they looked to Germany wasn't good. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We got to look to God, not to, to man or their governments. And so in that, you know, I think of the word of David Wilkerson. You know, he's gone to be with the Lord now. He opened up the ministry, Times Square Church, and he been prophesied. He prophesied for years about, you know, what we need to be able to get right in regards to the ways of the Lord. And his prophecies are coming to pass. You know, I think of the book. I mean, I mentioned it this week already, but I just want to encourage you. It's a 1998 prophecy that was written down that's called America's Last Call on the Brink of Financial Holocaust. And, you know, it's the truth. But see, the thing about, you know, the enemy messes with us in saying, oh, because you made a mistake, because we've sinned or we failed, you know, that it's over. So I guess I just might as well just not. And the thing about it is, all these things happen to be able to turn us back to him so he can love on us. Mm-hmm. He can love on us. Can you imagine that?
Wow. Amazing.
You know, saying he's like, oh my God, love on us. You know, forgive us, restore us.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one time when God's people, you know, had gone astray, you know, and as you see over and over again, and it was just a mess. I mean, it's sort of like a checking account that's just all over the place, and you got to do like a forced balance situation. You just get, okay, whatever the base is.
We'll just dump it and
we'll
start over.
We'll just start over again, you know. We'll just call it a forced balance, you know. And it's so refreshing because you can say, okay, we'll just start with their numbers since I have all kinds of numbers all over the place. And I'm sure that that probably doesn't happen to you. But anyway, so then God just says in the midst of this mess to Israel, I mean, they're just – they're sinning. They're doing all these horrific things. He's talking about what they're doing. And now, in the middle of nowhere, he just says, okay, listen. I'm just not going to remember anymore. Let's just start. It's a do-over. Let's just start over again. I mean, they didn't even ask for it. He just says, I'm not going to remember them. I'm just not going to remember
them.
Wow. Now, I wish we could have that ability not to remember. You know what I'm saying?
Lord.
You know, you're really good at remembering things.
I used to be.
I've been blessed enough not to. Where are we? What's going on? I remember I was calling the brother Ken. You know, we were talking, and in the middle of our conversation on the phone, I sat there and said, oh, wait a minute. Who is this? And he goes, I don't know. Who is this? I said, why are you calling me? It was so funny, you know. We started laughing. It's like, do you remember why you called me? You know, you just never know. I mean, it's one thing you need to really do. It's very, very important. You know, Jesus told Peter, you know, work while it's still day, because there'll be days somebody leads you by your hand. But listen, work while your mind is still functioning.
Yeah, right.
Well, because you got a good memory. You don't waste your memory on junk. Oh my goodness, you know, store up God's word and just activate. You know what I'm saying? And get involved in it. So we're gonna read. I'm reading from Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. I'm reading. He says, "Wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public square." At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out in the gateways of the city. She makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke. Think about it. Oh my goodness. I thought you was hating on me. No. The enemy is so messed up disciplined that you know, we have difficulty receiving correction. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And understanding that, you know, God disciplines those that he loves. And he's bringing, discipline is about bringing people to a place of desired outcome. It's not about punishment in the context of, hey, I'm just going to bring retribution on you. And he said, if you would have responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you. Listen, do you want your abiding times to just explode with the voice of the Lord? Think about it. He said, if you would have responded to my rebukes, I would have poured out my heart to you. Look at that. God is wanting just to pour out his heart to us. He's wanting to just have this, you know, it's since the Garden of Eden, it's been about a relationship, having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that he just wants to pour his heart out to you and to us. But we have to get positioned to be able to do that. And one is to get in the place that he tells us to be. And discipline comes our way. He says, consider hardship as discipline. God is treating us as a son in Hebrews 12. And so he's just bringing us to that place. He's not hating on us. He's not, you know, and we got to get that, because he's always going to bring, like a shepherd takes his staff and kind of pushes it this way and pushes that sheep this way. That's not an evil thing. That's a loving thing from a shepherd. And he says, anyway, if you would have responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. Isn't that awesome? Nobody can control. Isn't that awesome, Pat? You think about it?
That's very good.
God, the creator of the universe, wants to make his heart known to us.
Amazing.
You know, you think about it. Somebody, well, God just never talks to me. Have you ever thought about getting rid of the rebellion? Did you ever think about reading the word and following it? Did you ever think about, well, no. Listen, it's God has awesome plans in store for you. Plans to bless you and prosper you and to give you a future. It's the adversary that brings in the counterfeit of everything that goes on. So it goes on to say, he says, but since you rejected when I called, think about it, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. God, I thank you for stretching out your hand. May we grab your hand this morning. May we grab your hand this morning. Since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster. Oh, my goodness. I will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelms you, then they will call on me and I will not answer. You know, quite often, you know, we just take for granted, you know, God's being there for us in our abiding times and and just talking to him. But there comes a time if we just stay in sin, if we refuse to turn back to him, it's like brass heavens, you know. Yeah. I know that Brother John Kilpatrick wrote a book about brass heavens and dealing with the brass heavens when your prayers go up and you hit, you know, they just feel like they're hitting the ceiling.
Yep, just bounces right off.
But, you know, basically, really, you think about a brass heaven, it's really a hard heart. You know, it's really a hard heart. And so then they will call on me and I will not answer. They will look for me, but they won't find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, then they will eat the fruit of their ways. And God's so merciful. Let me tell you something. You know, it's not that, you know, when you're walking with God and you're listening to him, you know, you're still, you know, have a sin nature. You still have to take, carry things to the cross and be empowered by God. And we'll talk about that today, by the cross of Christ, to be able to walk this walk out. But he's cool with that. That's how he's designed that, you know. And, but, you know, Lord, we don't want to eat the fruit of our ways. You know, the mercies of God is about, you know, when a person goes to the courthouse and they throw themselves on the mercies of the court, what they're saying is, you know, I've done wrong and I know what I deserve. You know, I deserve maybe 10 years in prison. Maybe they say something like that, which is a correction. It's not a punishment per se. And so he throws himself on the mercy of the court. And then the judge says, you know, he pauses, he deliberates or whatever. And he comes out and he's, and mercy is, okay, I tell you, I'm going to give you probation. I'm going to give you probation. And I'll tell you what, in these court systems in America, you know, being in law enforcement, I've seen a lot of people, you know, get that mercy. Mercy's like, well, you deserve time, but I'm going to give you probation. And then a lot of people get, they violate their probation. You know, they say, listen, you can be out, you know, you can be on house arrest, or you can just be free. Just all you got to do is check in with your probation officer or something like that. And then the next thing you know, that they're getting arrested. It's like, dude, you got 10 years hanging over your head, 10 years hanging over your head, and you've been issued mercy, and you're going to go violate your probation. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You know what
totally
I'm saying?
Amazing.
And so God can have mercy on us, but during that mercy period of time when we actually should be eating the fruit of our labors, we need to be really humble and listen to what God's saying, because he can violate our probation.
Instantly.
It's like, what happened? I got 10 years on the backside of the desert. Oh, man, I wish I would have listened to the judge. Anyway, so and he says, you eat the fruit of your ways, but be filled with the fruit. He says, and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. So all those schemes that were going on, he says, okay, I'm just going to turn you over to those schemes. He said, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency. Think about that. Oh, I want to abide with the Lord this morning, but you know, this bed's really comfortable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just tired because I stayed up all night watching insignificant programming on an insignificant television.
Nice.
Watching reality programs while not living. Anyway, so then, you know, watch us, right? You may have, hey, you know, hey, there's a new show we got going on, right?
Right.
Wow, man, you see what happened yesterday. Okay. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. And complacency is like, you know what? I know what I need to do, but I'm just not going to do it. And listen, this last part, and this is the big one. It says, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Think about it. It doesn't matter what's going on. Yeah, if the whole world is suffering, or even lots large portions of the church are suffering because they were complacent and they wouldn't listen to God's rebuke, you can listen to God. You can abide with God. God can keep you. I mean, think about over and over again, we see where God would actually keep people to himself and he'd protect them, not because they're perfect, but because they just listened to him. You know, they abided with him and did what he said, and God revealed his secrets of his heart to them. And today, because, you know, King David wrote those secrets down, we're actually still living on those secrets. And, you know, we're excited about, you know, sharing in the future what the things God's revealed to us. But I want to encourage you, that's the wisdom for today, knowing that, listen, you know, we just got to respond to him. You know, the reason what's happening in the earth right now, and let's just focus on America this one moment, is the fact that, hey, you know what? God's getting our attention. He's getting our attention. You know, when I was in law enforcement, that, and for those that are in law enforcement, they're listening to me, you know, it's very important to understand. I mean, you understand, obviously, but, and things are changing. And we had, I think, a horse and buggy when I was in there. And we, but, you know, is it that you had to be able to use what's called minimum force necessary. And I'm still talking about the Proverbs for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And minimum force necessary means that, you know, when somebody has a weapon, for example, and you walk up to them and you're the police officer and you're talking to them, the first thing you do is scream, run, and get another job. No, I'm messing with you. That's not true. That's not true. Anyway, and so you're thinking, oh, my goodness. No, the you get your position, you take authority. You know, and you tell them verbally, you give them a verbal command.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you send a prophet to the church and you say, drop the weapon, right? Mm-hmm. And the person says, okay, I'm glad you asked me. I'll go ahead and drop it now. I mean, very seldom does this happen
right.
That way, right? And so then you escalate. Now you're actually, you give authoritative command. You're going to raise your voice even louder and drop the weapon, or I'm going to, and you know, verbally articulate where you're going to progress and use minimum force necessary. So you're working your way up a scale of using force. And if they actually would have responded with a verbal request, then things will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so then once they understand what's coming next in the escalation of force, and they didn't do it, then you got to progress to that. But you've articulated, and you need to articulate to a jury of their peers, that we got to this huge amount of force because, you know, I offered him 15 opportunities and it just escalated, you know.
Right.
And that's why people don't understand when they look at situations in law enforcement, they think, oh, I can't believe they use this kind of force. But if you look, the officer progressed. I mean, the progression could be in 60 seconds. I mean, you can't just wait 4 hours and say you need to get shot doing that.
Yeah.
And so then the next thing they would say, you know, okay, I'm going to bring out maybe a Back then, it was more of a PR-24 or a stun gun, but now they have tasers. Mm-hmm. And a taser. We got to try that out one day on the air and find how that works. You know, we had to actually use the stun gun on ourselves to be able to use the stun gun.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you more about the experience.
I got a TENS unit you can borrow.
No. Well, I need we to try that out. We don't want to be able to testify to our listeners whether it works or not. And of course, since I'll be the one talking about what's going on, do you mind if I actually tase you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm serious. Pretty cool, you know? It's pretty cool. Now, me, since it basically works on, you know, what's it called? A voluntary muscle group.
Right.
It won't affect me as much as it affects you. I remember that I was working a side job at a ball game, a football game, and I was learning how the stun gun worked in the sheriff's department. And I had to chase this guy up. It was actually, for those that are in Pensacola, it was a Scambia High School. And Scambia High School is like down in the football stadium in a hole, you know. No wind blows there. And so blows over there but not there. And this guy violates the law or something, and he runs up that ramp. This ramp is like, you know, you got to understand for those guys in Colorado in the mountains, you know, we're like in the flatlands. There is the only thing that's high around here is our stomach when we lay down. And so anyway, so then I had to chase him all the way up this whole huge ramp. I mean, it's huge. And I was in better shape then. I mean, you know. I was in a different shape. Anyway, so then I ran all the way up there, and I finally got up in the parking lot. For those that are in Pensacola area, you know where the driver's ed area is in Escambia High School, where we all tried to learn to drive. And so I get him over there. He's fighting with me, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and I'm just gasping for air. And I take my stun gun, because my escalation of force is to the point of stun gun, mm-hmm. and I took it, and I stunned him, but he was real fluffy. He was real fluffy fat, and so when I stunned him, because he didn't have the voluntary muscle involuntary muscle group that like I'm talking about, all he did was just say mama. And I was like, but it didn't affect him at all,
right?
And so it's going to take a different level of force because, you know, of how he was. And so when you're progressing through force, when you're progressing, God's, it's just read God. God's, it's the same. God's the same way. He wants us just to respond to his verbal instruction. Mm-hmm. And people say, you know, why is it getting so rough? Because he's been talking to us for a decade now. You know, we've been prophesying for years, mm-hmm. and we'll talk more about that. But, you know, that God wants the father's hearts to turn to the children and the children to the fathers, or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. But the shaking and the trembling is hardship to turn us back to turning our hearts to the fathers and the sons. So we'll talk more about that. So, and then if the taser, you bring the taser, I said, listen, I'm fixing to tase you if you don't drop the weapon. Mm-hmm. And so they go, no. And then they're shocked, literally. They're shocked emotionally. And then they're shocked because the taser hits them. And then they not only drop the gun, but they drop themselves and everything else. And they drop a few other things probably when the taser hits you. But it was an escalation of force. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly when you read about the Lord and understand the ways of the Lord, that's how he responds. And when you're like, you know, somebody says, why is it always so rough for me? Why is my life so, you know, you got to look at yourself and says, well, maybe you don't listen to God when he's talking to you with the gentle promptings. Maybe when your pastor's telling you and your spiritual father speaking into your life, or a spiritual mother is saying, listen, honey, you need to think, right? And they're not going to be yelling at you. They're just going to, mm-hmm. you might about think about it. Your arm might fall out if you do that, you know? And you don't listen. And next thing you know, you're in prison, you're in jail. And, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, that was just an unnecessary thing. You could have listened. And that's what God's saying here. If you would have just listened to me, you know, and right now the Lord has got prophets all over the place. That's the verbal commands are going out for us to obey him. And now it's time for us to go, you know, hey, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And with that, we can turn and everything's going to be okay.
Right.
But quite often it just doesn't work like that. It didn't work like that. You know, when I was in law enforcement quite often, mm-hmm. and in ministry, I found out sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes you just got to go through hardship, but God is still cool with that. You know, mm-hmm. we might be limping when we come out of that, and, you know.
He's patient.
Yeah, you know about limping and things like that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so I just want to encourage you today with the word of wisdom this morning that, you know, that listen to God. listen to God, and that if we don't listen, God's not going to be kind of rescuing us in this turmoil. He's going to let us go through this turmoil. I mean, you read the word of God, and it says God's people, it says, cried out to the Lord, and he answered. Mm-hmm. And you think, that was awesome. Oh, my goodness. But you back up one more verse, and he said, for 8 years they suffered under oppression.
Yeah, right.
Then they cried out.
Yeah.
And that's like minimum force necessary. So, you know, let's just, the whispers of God, the gentle voices, the promptings of the Holy Spirit, when he tells us, you know, he says, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not just do what's right? Why not just do what's right? Sin is crouching at your door. Why not just do what's right?
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.